Greetings, respected viewers. How are you all? Right. So this video is asking whether the Russian forces have taken the Ukrainian town of Soledar. So Soledar is in East Ukraine. Its name is derived from sol, as in salt, because it holds the largest salt mines in Europe. And I know chleb sol, as in bread salt, is the Russian word for hospitality, but they have not received a warm welcome in Soledar. I mean, apart from the barrels of Ukrainian guns. And surely, you know, they sell it's not really worth their salt, the Russians. Is it worth somebody being killed for salt mines? Anyway, they've assaulted the salty area, and no doubt there's been some salty language used in relation to this, because the casualties appear to be quite high, and it's really not worth it. It'd be the victory of Pyrrhus if they've taken it. Now, have they taken the town? From what little we can infer from their statements, from Ukraine's not especially strident disputation of that, and from satellite imagery and so on, it looks either the Russians have taken the town or they've nearly taken the town, which obviously doesn't make it mean it's a foregone conclusion they actually will succeed in taking the whole of the town. They might be pushed back a little bit, but it's probable that they will take it. Now, is it really something to crow about? Well, why does Ukraine defend this so vigorously? I suppose it's just to prove that they can. It's not of great strategic value to them. It's quite close to Bakhmut, which does matter a little bit as a road and rail hub. But, you know, the railway lines, the roads can be blown up and so on. I mean, the roads themselves, okay, you create them. That's not that big a deal. Not too difficult to repair. Bridges and tunnels around there, that is more of a big deal to repair. Anyway, a lot of vehicles can go off-road because it's the ground so frozen, so solid, that's less of a problem. Obviously, when it gets muddy again in March, that slows you down. But the Russians were striving so hard to capture Soledar and then Bakhmut so that they've got something to show for their pains. They haven't taken a Ukrainian town for 6 months of this 11th-month war. They've been driven back. Often not driven back very far. They've taken villages, but nothing that count as a town. Soledar's got a peacetime population of 10,000. It now appears to be under 500. And frankly, I'm surprised as anybody. And you can see from the satellite imagery just how many shells and rockets have been fired. The ground is pockmarked. So the Ruskies have wasted loads of munitions, partly because they're not terribly accurate. So to get the same result, you have to fire far more. Not like sort of these HIMAR rockets where sort of 98% of them hit within 1 meter of where they're targeted on. As if you tried to hit me on the nose and hit me, you might hit me on the knees or something. So even if you don't hit pinpoint where you want with a HIMAR rocket, it'd still be within the kill zone. Lots are going to be within the wound zone or the damage zone. Close enough. So anyway, CNN claims that Ukrainians are retreating. It was an orderly retreat as well. It's not a rout. But there's already internal rowing. Yevgeny Prigozhin, the man is known as Putin's chef, 61-year-old fellow, St. Peterburger, he is saying that his Wagner private military company, that they have taken it exclusively. Now, that's disputed by the Ministry of Defense, said the mainstream Russian armed forces have taken it. So this is open public row. Now, Wagner Group was a fairly elite outfit until last year. It was only founded about 8 years ago, and it was for the people who'd done at least 10 years in either the Russian forces, the Belarusian forces, or sometimes forces of other countries such as Serbia, so another Slavic country. And they were highly paid, but they earned that money. It was hazardous duty pay. And they'd be fighting in Mali, the Central African Republic, Libya, Syria, wherever it was, Ukraine. So Prigozhin, remember, denied any connection whatsoever with Wagner Group until last year. He boasted he is the head of Wagner Group. So he'd been lying through his teeth for ages. So obviously he's got no credibility whatsoever. But anyway, the Russians just feel that they've got to win something because it's been going so badly for them. Not that they've been driven back much for the last couple of months. There was more of that in September. Soledar itself is only about 5.5 square miles. So even if the Russians have taken it, it won't improve their strategic situation much. They'll make life a bit more difficult for the Ukrainians in Bakhmut. Their lines of communication will be under threat. But it just doesn't really appear to be worth it for the Ukrainians to defend it. And the Russians have paid a very high price if they've taken it. So the war goes on. Wagner Group is obviously not elite now. They're desperate. They've taken men out of prison. Now Prigozhin's been openly talking for a month about taking women out of prison to serve in Wagner Group. So there's a sort of blame game in the Russian military, and the fact that you know, Sergei Sorovikin has been replaced speaks volumes about how badly it's going, which doesn't mean that Russia's definitely going to lose the war, and not that they're going to lose it soon, even if they do lose it at all. But it shows, I suppose, that the pig-headedness of the Russian campaign. And I've always got to guard against over-optimism. Anyone watching my channel know that I want Ukraine to win, to remain an independent country, to retain its freedom. And this can actually bring freedom to the Russians as well. Not that I'm Russophobic in the least. You know, nobody has to die. Russia could withdraw tonight and the war would be over and nobody else would get killed. So every single death is entirely on the heads of the Russian regime. Anyway, so more time for these Western tanks to arrive. The Germans still haven't committed to sending Leopard tanks. So those French light tanks, talking about British Challenger 2 tanks. I don't know anything about military equipment, really. And more time for a Ukrainian counteroffensive in the spring. The trouble is, it's probably going to take a few months to train the tank crews up and indeed people to repair them. So the technicians need to know how to fix them when things are going wrong. But, you know, at this rate, if the Russians were to conquer the whole of Ukraine, at this number of deaths, the Russian population would be extinct long before they got to the border with Poland. It reminds me of what some eminent Briton said in the First World War. I can't remember the chap's name. Can we really afford to go on paying this sort of price for this sort of gain? It's really not worth it. But you just think suddenly there'll be a breakthrough, enemy collapse will plummet, and then you'll race forward. It'll be very, very easy. Their morale will crack. You can't quite tell when that's going to be. It's very sudden. It's like the dam breaks, and then a huge number surrenders very quickly because people are not willing to fight on when they perceive that resistance is futile. So the first thing you've got to do is convince the enemy that he's lost already. So you might as well give up. So they'll be on to the Battle of Bakhmut, and not very much is happening on the other fronts. But the Russians are trying to spook Ukraine, saying they might invade from Belarus. Their military drills with Belarus, more Russian planes in Belarus. And frankly, I think there will be a Russian attack from Belarus in the spring. I think probably a particularly large scale one, a feint, at very least. They might as well try it, because going on the way they're going is not really going to work. Probably be quite a big draft of Russian soldiers in the spring. They might have finally got their act together and might have to rely on sheer numbers, not maneuverability, not sophisticated technology, because the Ukrainians are getting more and more of that from Western countries. And that's what Russia's got to guard against. As Ukraine's military improves in quality, as in gets more sophisticated weaponry, Russia's is being depleted, is running out of it, is also running out of money. Now, Russia can sustain this for quite some time, for about a year and a half. I suppose Russia's one hope is a loss of political will in Western countries, be unwilling to arm Ukraine, unwilling to pick up the bills, unwilling to pay the economic price for these high oil and gas prices. And although it was not as bad this winter as we thought, forthcoming winter, 2023 into 2024, it might be a lot harder, because Western countries were lucky with an exceptionally mild winter, the mildest for decades. Is like the third mildest ever, something like that. And you know, the Chinese thirst for energy will be increasing because they've reopened their economy, their lockdowns are over, and so on. So that could drive up oil and gas prices. And you know, Western countries are getting ready. Russia is obviously not going to sell much oil and gas, almost none, to Western countries quite soon. But Germany's got these floating liquid natural gas docks, so they can receive more, and switching more to green energy and rationalizing energy use, reducing it through insulation and so on. But it could still be a rather chilly and pricey winter next one. We do at least have quite a few months to prepare for it. Right, thanks for watching. Please subscribe and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.